And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. That's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
I like this one.
1950s kind of throwback. Yeah, kind of nice. Feel. Yeah, what's nice.
Hey Kanan.
Hey, guys. That's freaking awesome. Who did that?
We don't know. Some little robot slave in China.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Talented robot.
Those the Uyghur slaves in China.
Well, yeah. They're very cheap, so.
Man.
And good.
Dude, AI is crazy. So we do this thing where every week we have a different, we don't know what the jingle is going to be to open up the show every week.
Uh-uh. You prompt it and it spits it out?
Yeah, and it just kind of
pops
out.
That was a good one, man. Yeah.
It's the same lyrics, it's just different. Okay. It's Kanan Smith.
Whatever. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Kanan. So, thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, what up? Yeah. So it's the same lyrics, but it's just, it changes different. The out is always the same.
I've actually done that with a couple of my songs, and It's a sad day when you get one-upped by an AI computer.
Some of them,
I put in the lyrics to Beer Drinking Weather and said, do it like this or whatever, and it was a better melody than what we did.
Are you kidding
me? I swear, it was amazing. And the production, everything was just like, holy.
Okay, so I have a question. This is interesting. Wrong. As somebody who writes songs and whatnot, if AI rips off a melody...
Mm-hmm.
from somebody, which I don't know if they have or haven't.
I don't know either.
There's only a certain number of chords.
Sure.
If AI rips off a melody or a style and makes it close enough, like almost like the Robin Thicke, Marvin Gaye type thing where they had the lawsuit?
Sure.
Who do they sue?
That's a good question, dude. I don't know. And I don't know that it is a crime if it never gets sold, right? Yeah. So if there's no monetary value to it, then it's probably not a problem. But you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
Yeah,
it is a scary thing to think about, though, just how easily they're writing songs for you. And I haven't seen it in the writing rooms yet. But, you know, I mean, just my own experience of trying my own lyrics in a song that's already been out. I'm not kidding. It was pretty impressive.
Well, we did that with Low Cash. They were in, and we took their song Hometown Home, and we plugged it in while they were in here doing the podcast with us, and we were like, let's try this version. Let's do Hawaiian reggae with a female vocalist.
Some cool stuff.
And it changed their song completely, and they're like, man, this is a producer.
I mean, it's essentially like, you could use it as inspiration. I'm not a fan of the take it and run with it, but using it for inspiration. I'll give you an example. I did I did this 30-second commercial, video commercial for a camper company called Modern Buggy. And I wanted to kind of write the script myself for the narrative, mm-hmm. for the what do you call it in film?
Voiceover?
Yeah, the voiceover. So, but I don't do that for a living. I didn't know where to start. So I'll admit, I got on ChatGPT. Is it GPT or GPT?
GPT.
ChatGPT, and I typed in, I need a commercial narrative for this, that, and the other. And now I did get inspired. I didn't use word for word what they said, but there were elements that they had thought of how to present my message in a way that I wasn't thinking of, and it was inspiring enough to be very useful, a very useful tool. So I don't have a problem with it as far as inspiration, using it as a tool in the bag. The problem is when it becomes lazy on our part, and creativity suffers because of it.
Look at the essays and things that are coming out of high school kids. You have a high school senior. No, this is brilliant. They'll go, okay, write a synopsis of The Great Gatsby, but write it from the perspective of a ninth grade boy.
You're kidding.
And then it'll do an essay written as a ninth grade with all the spelling errors and all the things.
And how's there any way to check it? How's there any, it's different every time. It's not like you can go and search that
result.
But
it's also brilliant to say as though it was written by a ninth grade boy, because then it makes it dumbs it down.
Oh, dude, it's
not too good.
School, yeah. The workload for these kids now then is completely cut in half.
If they don't
less.
Learn how to code, they're all going to be idiots by the time they I mean, seriously.
It's crazy,
You've got to start doing something.
How quickly do things change? I mean, my generation, You know,
they don't have to
we
do
didn't
math.
Know nothing about that.
You don't have to do math anymore. I've watched my son do math homework, and he holds his
it's
little thing up,
thing
and he holds up to the the camera, up to the project or the question, and it does it all for him, and it shows the work. And so all you have to do is just copy what the app
That's
says.
That's bizarre and very opportunist of your son.
You're in a weird your generation is you kind of straddle.
Yeah.
Both. You're kind of our generation, but also the newer generation.
What am I, an X? What is an X? I'm 82.
You're born in 1982. Yeah, you're kind of...
You're an elder millennial.
A millennial?
Okay. Yeah. Because I was 81, so I'm in the same group with you. So, yeah.
Yeah, both of you guys have that kind of that weird, like... Bob and I are both kind of... all in millennial, but you guys are, yeah, whatever.
There's also a group between like 78 and 83 that's called Zennial.
Okay,
and
I like that
because it's got, as you mentioned, the older part, but also some millennial.
That
tendencies.
Feels more me. I'm a Zennial.
Zennial,
yeah.
You don't want to say geriatric, whatever we said.
elder.
I'm an elder Zennial.
Elder Zennial.
Okay, I'm looking. Yeah, because somebody was okay. So yeah, I now have it. So we have the Gen X is anybody born from 65 to 80. Millennials is 81 to 96.
Oh, wow.
Then you got Gen Z, which is 97 to 2012. Gen Alpha, 2011 to 2024. Gen Beta starts this year.
Oh, wow. So my kids are Alpha. I got two in the Alpha
and
category.
That gen is going to be crazy because of their dependence upon screens. They're like...
That's something we have to monitor pretty hard.
Even Garrett, what are you? You're
I think I'm Gen Z, right?
What year are you born?
98.
Yeah, you're Gen Z. You're an elder Gen Z.
Oh, that's
but
great.
Yeah, so, I mean, you had screens basically your whole life, too.
Yeah, I was using AIM when it first came out as like a 5-year-old. Probably wasn't
wow.
great.
Wow, you say AIM, not AIM?
AIM.
I know, we See, said AIM,
is,
didn't
this,
we?
Yeah. This is this discrepancy that we're talking about.
I remember
about.
Those days. You used to get an actual CD disc, a ROM disc or whatever in the mail.
Oh, the AOL ones?
And it would be 30 free minutes of internet time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The dial-up days.
Dial-up, yeah. You had to tell your mom, get off the phone.
Get off the phone, Mom! That's right, dude. That's right.
It was Bubba's mom was you remember Napster?
Oh, yeah.
His mom
and LimeWire.
She was ripping stuff off of Napster back in the day.
I was too.
So my mom was, my parents both were early adopters, like tech heads. I mean, when I was growing up, we had every video game console that was new. We were the first family that I knew of in our neighborhood to have a computer in the house.
Bizarre.
And like, we were not rich or anything, but my
what
parents.
What kind of computer was it? Like a Gateway?
It was a Tandy.
Tandy.
It was a Tandy TRS 80 something
God,
or other.
Dude, we had a TRS too.
And we didn't even have the good one with the green little stuff on the screen. Everything on ours
orange.
Was orange.
Oh,
yeah,
let's go.
But my dad was always like, "Yeah, you gotta be ahead of the game so you're not
Smart.
Behind." And so
and now look at you over there, man in the station.
Yeah,
you know what you're doing,
dude. I am so dumb now.
Sounds like your dad.
I'm
knew
very
what he was doing.
Reliant on all this stuff now, but
well,
I forgot where we were going.
Oh,
with
sorry,
that.
I interrupted.
No,
your dad
it's okay.
said you gotta be well versed in the tech.
Yeah,
stuff.
Whatever it was.
Oh, jeez. Sorry.
No, that's good.
Anyway, but it's just bizarre because and I find it's interesting because there are some people now, especially like Garrett's generation. You know, they're going, hey, you know what, we don't need all these screens. And they're starting to...
Yeah, it's like a revolt against it now, which is cool.
Going back to old school Nokia phones.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We need it so bad. I need it. My wife and I are totally addicted to Instagram. I hate it, but I'll admit it. And it's not cool to like sit there and realize... Like, I'll try to monitor myself a little bit, but I definitely find myself reaching for my phone literally every about 30 seconds just to see if something's happened. See if I got a text, get on Insta real quick, make sure there's no new messages or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like an addiction that's completely unnecessary.
I often will take my phone and I'll put it, like during the show, I put it behind me so I don't grab for it. And so it's behind me and I don't see the little screen light up. So it says, oh, you have a notification.
Yeah. But didn't your watch go off though?
I turned all the notifications off.
There you go.
Because
then
I had to.
What's the point of having the watch then?
Because, okay, so the reason I got this watch was back in the firefighter days, sometimes the alarm would go off. You have to jump on the truck and I would leave my phone in the firehouse. And if I was
Fair
going
enough.
To a fire, I was married at the time. I used to always like to send a text before I would go into something squirrely, and I'd be like, "Hey, we're you know, blah blah blah, just letting you know, love you," kind of thing, and boom.
Like your last words or something,
dude. Yeah, like just in case, yeah, like you know,
man,
it was always you never know. You
How long
never
were you
know.
A firefighter?
8, 10 years, something like that. I don't know.
But where at? Where were you?
Williamson.
Oh man,
yeah. But
you saw some things.
Yeah, it was dude. Yeah, it was cool. It was really. I mean, I say this to anybody who's ever thought about it. If you've ever considered doing it, do it. It's very rewarding, very fulfilling. You see stuff that you never thought you would ever see, good and bad.
Wow.
And you get to be a part of things.
What was the training like?
It was good.
It was pretty hard.
I would imagine.
I remember you're like, wow.
The hardest part for me, though, was learning the dumb stuff, like knots. I never grew up making knots. I mean, I know how to tie a fishing line.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you know, you're having to do things like, this is this knot that you use for this. And
do you
this
still remember
knot.
Those knots? Yeah.
Yeah, they drill cool. it into you.
That's great, dude. I think that's awesome.
I don't know what they're called, but I can do them.
You got some survival skills.
Yeah.
Do you still have your kit in your car, your truck?
My kit.
A kid in his trunk? Is that what you said?
A kit.
Oh, a kit.
Like kit. Like, okay, you know, like your... We used to have like all kinds of like I've got a tourniquet in my
oh,
I got
yeah. I keep a tourniquet in here.
See what I mean?
You never great. Know, bro. These lights.
We make fun until we need it, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh. But yeah, I do. I do have all that in the car. I do have an emergency medical kit.
Yeah,
that just in case you're driving and something you pull up on something.
Yeah,
you go. Yeah, you know what?
You should.
I mean, a tourniquet. Mm-hmm. Is such a basic piece of you can mm-hmm. get a cheap one from China. It may not be the best, mm-hmm. but it works. You can and get those for a couple dollars.
One of my the best thing I got this Christmas was a cheap version of it, but it's still useful. It's one of those air. It's not a compressor, but it will blow your tire up for you.
If oh yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like a roadside.
That you put into your cigarette lighter or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, or a car charger as Garrett
would call. Or you just charge it up and it runs on the battery.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried it yet. I hadn't had to use it, but I think that's cool to have too, you know, just because you never know. You know.
I got a big air tank in the garage that I love.
That's
using.
Cool.
It's nice.
An air tank, like a compressor?
Yeah.
What do you find yourself using it a lot? Or?
Yeah, you know, yeah, because it's like tires always go down. It's got like a really long, like, hose that you can take out to the into the out of the garage
and you build
driveway.
Stuff right so you're using it for nail guns
not,
and things
no lord
no
no
I thought you
no
you just craft candles not
I mean candles
furniture.
Yeah yep. I don't need air compressors for that.
I love that one you gave
did
me
we ever
time,
tell you did
way.
We tell you we made I was thinking about so you can go buy these candle scents online, all kinds of what you think of it, they've come up with it.
Yep.
And I was telling Bubba that one time on the air, I said they make one that smells like feces.
of which animal?
I'm not sure.
The human animal.
And
because if it's horse poop, I'm a fan.
You are.
I am.
Okay.
Yep. That's one thing.
I like skunks. I like skunks from a distance.
You really do?
Yeah. When you when you're out in the.
Do you smoke the ganj too?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Do you do that?
Oh, a lot of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You look like you look kind of burly. like you honestly do. Like
he's very, very. Like
your classes.
I've dialed back a little bit recently, honestly, just to make sure I'm not killing myself prematurely with the lung capacity and all that. But
it's been
2 months since I've smoked, and I'm totally cool with it. But I do miss it, man. I mean, I'll still do edibles here and there. Because I like the space it puts me in creatively.
Okay.
And I went for probably like pretty hard in the pain, like 5 years of smoking, you know, all day, every day.
Uh-huh. So you just, when you want to get something, you just call Jelly and say, hey, get me some.
Yeah. No, I mean, I go to California a ton on the, you know, on the road, there's always spots to pick it up. And around here, I mean, even the Delta stuff they sell legally, they're putting stuff in drinks at the gas station that'll get you ripped. And which I think definitely needs to be a little better regulated. I'm a huge fan that's accessible. I'm a fan of it. But yeah, I know. That's true. It's the same thing.
I also think it's interesting
to see one of these drinks, though, for real, you know, 45 minutes in, you're going to be ripped. So I don't know that you could be ripped in 45 minutes off beers. You know what I mean? So that's the only difference for me is it the intensity of the high from these drinks that they're selling at the gas station. And how quickly they kick in seems like it could be a little bit dangerous. I'm a fan. So
going back to the firefighter stuff, you wouldn't believe how many people are so schnockered in traffic next to you. We'd pull up to Rex, and they're high or they're drunk or whatever. One guy pulled over one time just onto the side of the road. They thought he was dead. We show up. He was basically
passed out.
Passed out. But his heart rate had dropped almost completely from opiates. But 2 seconds before, he was driving in traffic with you. I'm going, man.
That's wild.
Yeah, you don't realize how bad it is.
Hey, what do you think the percentage are of musicians that use some kind of substance?
Nowadays, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, most of my friends smoke weed at some level or partake every now and then.
I remember listening to music, even country music, growing up. Like, I was very straight, like, never did any of that stuff, and was in the household. It was just strictly forbidden. But hearing, like, songs talking about smoke and drink and smoke, and I was just like, I always thought it meant cigarettes, but it was never about cigarettes.
Yeah, no, it's kind of always been,
it's always been in the music world.
Yeah, it has.
Any art.
Yeah, really. Well, and that's why, and that goes back to why I like the impact that it has on me creatively. It kind of like takes away the inhibitions, you know.
Have you ever done mushrooms?
I have. Yeah.
What's the difference between mushrooms?
Not a lot, to be honest with you. I've only done the micro dosing version of it, so just little caps, you know, or chocolates. And
so when you say micro dosing,
so like very small amounts.
So caps are like the cap of the mushroom?
Yep.
Okay. And so you just eat, and it's like that big or something?
Well, there's different sizes, and you know, I've taken I've only done that a couple of times.
Are you literally eating a mushroom?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
And I was already weed high at the time when I tried them for the first time, so it was it was just like icing on the THC.
But what's that stuff that you were talking about?
So I couldn't really tell you.
Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
I told you, I don't do anything, but I want to do the ayahuasca deal because, like, you're smiling. Like,
haven't done it, but I'm intrigued.
That whole DHT, like, you know, the
like what Aaron Rodgers did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, a lot of military guys have done it, and a lot of first responders and all that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And they're all like, yeah, man, it's like you come out. You know, a lot of these guys are like, they did it, and they used to smoke weed and all that every day to kind of numb things. Mm. They're like, no, man, after doing that one time, it's life-changing. Never, I haven't touched anything.
Wow.
They're like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of this.
I mean, how do you argue with that? It's pretty cool.
But apparently you poo all over yourself.
And you crap yourself?
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
I can make a candle about that.
So
part of the healing, man.
There was this girl that
part of the healing.
I had met this girl on one of the apps, and she was like Brazilian, and they have this ayahuasca like getaway, and I'm like, man, this is very tempting. But the problem is, I don't want to go to Brazil and disappear into the Amazon, never to be seen
again.
Dude,
we're watching this series right now. It's apple cider vinegar. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
It's pretty great. It's about this chick who faked cancer and built this whole empire on this Whole Food Pantry app platform and made millions and was faking it the whole time.
Is it a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which sucks, you know, that those kind of people are out there. But
they are.
There's this one girl in the movie, in the scene, or in the series that goes and does one of these ayahuasca kind of things in Peru. And her first like 24 hours, she feels nothing from it. It does nothing. And so then you have to keep watching, and then she has like her conversion moment, and it works. But before she has a conversion, she has to decide, is she going to stay longer? And the lady's going around with her card reader, like swiping the credit cards of these people, you know, who are paying thousands of dollars probably for this experience. And so it just makes me think, I wonder how many people pay all this money to go do this big, you know, healing journey and never really get anything out of it. There's definitely some marketing going on there that, you know, I feel like is not justified.
It's tied into the series you just said.
Suss it out. If you're going to do it, there's probably ones.
I say I want to do it or I would do it. I don't know if I would ever
actually
do it.
Well, you know, it sounds like, I mean, you have no vices, so.
That's the weird thing. I need a vice.
You need a vice?
Cookie dough.
Did you see the Oreos in the break room?
Yeah, that's true. So that's the bad thing is like people who don't have vices, we turn to food. No, you laugh, whatever. It is true.
I hear you.
It is true that comfort food, that whatever, when you're just like you're feeling bad, you're feeling good, whatever it is, you're like, I need to find a little spot here. And
I mean,
the food
you're not a puppy kicker. I mean, it's, you know, that's okay.
We're so feeling. I had a talk with Granger Smith the other day. I was a guest on his show, and it was super cool. And he's
love Granger,
such a good guy. And he, as he was asking me something, I don't remember exactly what he asked me, but in my response, I was saying I feel like this, or when I feel like that, and I used the word feel a few times. And he stopped me and he said, "You know, you just said when I feel this or that. And you said it five times just now." And his basic rundown for me was like that, and not to go spiritual, take a spiritual turn on you, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Like God's, I don't think that, you know, his intention for us is to be feelings based and for us to make our next move based on feelings. And our feelings can get us trapped. Our feelings can put us in some serious places that we could otherwise have escaped if we had gone to our knowledge. Right? Feelings and knowledge are two different things. And he was like, what God's power in this situation is that he wants you to know his faithfulness to you in the past. He wants you to know he's capable of doing this, you know, for your future. And that helps with your feelings in the present that are hard to sort through sometimes and that can put you in places of doubt, depression, anxiety. Anyhow, I don't know what sent me down that road, but I felt like that was a message that really resonated with me and I needed to hear it. And so I'm passing it on. Thanks, Granger, for the wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
There
that
you
was
go.
Good. That's good.
So feelings.
Are you high right now?
No. Okay. No, sir. No, that's you know.
It's good.
That's that stuff that, I feel like that's the stuff that matters anyhow, more than anything, truly. And you know that. I'm not going to get all spiritual again, but
you can't
that's what I'm all about. You know, I just want to connect. I want to connect on real levels with people.
Carson just walked in. She missed
out. Carson.
We've been talking about ayahuasca and D is. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's been a fun one.
You ever done it?
Again, that's
no.
What
oh my
would
God,
you?
No.
No.
No. Oh my, you scared of it?
Yes.
What because, scares you?
I don't like to talk about bodily functions, but I hear there might be buckets.
Yeah, we covered that already.
Yeah, that's what I figured you guys did, and I'm glad I would have left the room for that part of the conversation. You know how I feel about that. So that is what really turns me off to it. Sure, spiritual quest.
Sure.
I might see a fox. Great. But
that's
but
a loved one.
A fox is the loved one?
A fox is a loved one, yeah. If you
oh,
see
is
a
that
fox,
what they say? No
yeah.
way.
If you see a fox that's a loved one, just kind of make
so
a little appearance.
So they have like a key that tells you what means what?
Yeah.
You show up with the laminated
hilarious.
List.
That's so
yeah. You just kind of go down the things. Yeah. Like
they
bird
wipe
watching.
It off with a sponge when you're done.
What in the world? I love it.
Checking.
But no, mushrooms are not that different than THC. Not that different, to answer your question.
Yeah, you can call. Good, nice callback. Yeah. Yep. So that's the hardest thing you've ever done is mushrooms?
Yeah. No, I'm not doing anything else. I am a hater of hard drugs.
So do you go out and find mushrooms, or do they sell?
They come to me.
I had a friend who grew them in his closet. He built this, it was a plexiglass, like terrarium, and he grew them in his closet. He ordered the psilocybin stuff, and he grew them. And like
that's
literally,
impressive.
He had a little thing that would lift, and he would have to shut the closet behind him so it would stop. He would turn
that's the
bizarre. Air conditioner off so it would not taint any of his growth. Dude, you know.
Yeah, that's a respect. I respect
so he would
that.
Flip up the little glass, and he would do everything with gloves.
A true horticulture.
Yes. Right.
I mean, he took a lot of pride in that.
No doubt.
I'd lick a frog once.
Oh, like one of those Amazonian frogs?
I would.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Their skin secretes some sort of
they get you high?
You can get high.
Yeah, and
from
so you
licking
hold
a frog?
And so you lick the frog outside of the frog.
It's a hypnotoad.
Hashtag lick the frog.
Mm. It's a hypnotoad. Anyone?
Hypnotoad. Yay. Nice.
I don't know what to do after that.
I don't think I'd lick the frog. No. Mm-mm.
You would.
No, I don't think I would. I'd rather it like be put in a, I don't know, just put it on a napkin and I'll dissolve it in water or some dissolvable paper. Like rub the dissolvable paper across its belly so it's on there.
Okay.
You know, like edible dissolvable paper.
That's a thing?
No.
Oh,
I'm just in
we're making
no. There is edible paper. People use it in baking decorated stuff.
There's edible glitter. My daughter loves it.
Yeah,
puts it in her fairy dust drink. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
How old are your kids?
Virginia's 5, and Ramsey just turned 3. So Virginia's 5 and a half, and Ramsey is 3. He just turned 3. We went to the water park at Opryland. That thing's awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's the difference between the boy and a girl's
it's crazy, bro.
It's wild.
It is completely wild. It's cool to see and witness, and I have a special connection with each, but they're totally different. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, he's a wild man.
The difference between not even boy and girl, but the difference between because I've got 2 girls and a boy. The difference between my 2 daughters is so different. Like you wonder how because all 3 of my children are very different.
Birth order, man.
Birth order I believe in lot. That, man.
Birth order is very interesting because the first one is usually like well behaved. They're
every parent the parents will are tell you that.
Yeah,
every parent's like, yeah, you were. So, my mother's told me you were great, so we went back for the second. We stopped because look at him. Yeah. So
well, it's because you get tired as a parent, you know, and by the second time around, you've been there, done that. You take things; it's not as stressful as far as like, you know, you're not as worried about the things. So worried about the things you were on the first go around, so you're a little bit more lenient. First go around, you're a lot more strict. That probably ties into, you know, them, the firstborns being more well behaved because we're a little bit more strict.
The second,
as parents
the second one is a little more risky because they haven't been held back.
They can get away with stuff a little bit.
And you don't have any pictures of the second one.
Yeah.
The first one, you take pictures all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The second one, you don't take as many pictures.
That's so true.
When you have 3, you're like my son. Doesn't have any pictures.
Yes, no. We don't even know sure his name. Where's that one guy?
No one's ever seen him.
Where is he at?
Frankincense. Justin Sotheby says, frankincense candles. Bring him back.
Oh, frankincense?
Yeah.
So what? Oh, like, yeah, the, like the Harry Potter jelly beans.
So, yeah that's how we started talking about that. Those that game where you take the jelly beans and like, this tastes like, is it going to be watermelon or puke? You know, that kind of thing. And so I made candles. Half the candle was poop smell.
Oh, but beneath the layer, like a layer down?
Halfway through. So I would pour half of it and then let it.
You're a savage.
And then let it set.
You're a savage.
And cure. And then on top, the second half would be orange.
Cure the poo first.
So so halfway. So you would smell and you'd be like, oh, this is like, oh, it's an orange candle. And so they would light it.
So eventually it smells like eventually poopery, orange citrus.
We call it citrus. And so, and so eventually they'd be like, one day they'd be like, God, what is that smell? I mean, it's not the orange candle. What could that be? And so Bubba's like, dude, we're going to sell these.
Do you sell them? The citrus?
Oh, let me tell you.
Is it called citrus?
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm like, I ordered the oil for the candles.
Where do you order poo oil?
Online. But you can get anything.
Well,
aren't
they putting beaver taint in food and stuff like that?
I don't know what you just said, but yeah. Anyway, so I ordered the oils and had the soy wax,
man.
And made them. Dude,
who'd you get?
I got through. How many did I end up making? 9, I think total. 7.
It was 9 or 7. No, I think it was 9. We gave 2 away, and then we were going to auction the other ones off. Justin says he still has his. He won.
Won Justin. One. Yeah, he had. Yeah, he paid for one, and they're very unique. Like they're very unique. There's none of them left. I was making them in the kitchen, like I do all the candles.
Ooh, dude, that smell.
My oldest son was upstairs in his room. And comes out and goes, what is that smell?
Like raw sewage? Like
it's bad. It's really bad.
Where do you get that oil? And what is that called?
It's online.
The beaver taint?
Yeah, exactly. No, what is it? What is it?
Well, you can go to, I don't remember the site I went to and got it. But
you can buy oil that smells like shit.
Yeah.
Shit oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get anything you want.
They call it
shoil.
You can get anything pretty much anything you want. Mm-hmm. They'll say, now, some of them will be a little chemical-y. I mean, at that point, who cares? But anyway, I couldn't get through. I had to go take them outside and finish the ones.
But because
then they had
prank.
To cure. So then they had to cure. And so they just sat outside on the deck.
Oh, God.
Getting, you know, hardening up. And then had to come back in, bring them. And then I had to do the orange on top of that. And then, you know, just bringing, having them in my car.
Oh, brother.
It would just, it would permeate. I'm sure Justin probably is like, you can smell it.
Yeah.
You can, it's...
Didn't we have one in Garrett's office for a while and it...
Yeah, it'll leak. You left a couple in here, and I had just started working here, and I was back here, and I'm like, should I keep working here? Because
it's open sewage.
I had three that were ended up, finally, I had left.
Did you ever gift one to someone?
I left them at an ATM.
What?
Like
at an ATM?
Yes, like a kid you don't
what
want.
What do you mean? Where'd you put it? Like, where'd you set this? How did you have room at the? Where was their room at an ATM?
Right on the thing where the it was right in front of a Publix.
Where the keypad is?
Yes, right in front of a Publix in Brentwood.
Citrus candles.
If someone's listening,
and name I wanted to call them.
It's Citrus. A beautiful name.
If like maybe I don't know how many years ago that was, but if you're at the Publix grocery store in Brentwood, Tennessee, when you walk in, there's a trash can, and I was going to throw them away. I'm like. You know what? Let's let this game keep going. And so I put them on the keypad area, and they're little metal canisters. They're cute looking little
and
things.
And if you open it up, and you're going to smell
smells like
citrus
orange.
At first?
Yeah.
For real? You don't smell any leakage?
Actually, there's a lot How's of leakage possible? Apparently now because Justin says it smells bad. I have mine triple bagged.
Justin, throw it away.
Hey, Justin, would you call? Hey, Justin, call us.
Yes.
1-800-667-8686. 1-800-667-8686. Call us.
Oh,
I absolutely want to talk to you about this. This is like the mad scientist finding out that one of their creations is living in the wild.
That's
I want to see how my children
and
are.
And I hope these Publix Brentwood shoppers call. I hope someone is hearing this right now.
I felt that it was
perfect.
Especially for those who don't know, Brentwood is kind of a hoity-toity area of Nashville.
Yeah, and that's actually a bonus for you.
It is. It's like, kind of like me, like kind of eat the rich kind of deal.
You got him.
Get him. I would love to hear.
He's not calling yet.
Okay. We did
that. Probably at work.
He probably logged off to go deal with the candles.
They do leak, apparently. Mm. They've got a little bit of a leakage going on there.
Ooh, man. Wow. You are a savage.
I need to get back into some candles. I haven't made some in a while. I need to start making some more candles.
Is that
candles.
Him on one? All right. Justin, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So triple bagged, really? Is that necessary?
Yes, it is. There's no citrus smell anymore.
No.
Pure citrus. So you burn through the top layer?
No.
I waited too long to actually prank somebody, and the secondary smell is now permeating through the top layer. So there's not really any citrus left. So I don't think I'm going to be able to prank them. I'm probably going to have to toss them eventually.
Oh,
well, no. Don't just toss them.
You've
got to
burn
them. Find an ATM.
I'll go set up a shrine around an ATM because I believe I actually have two or three of them.
Oh, my God.
Wow,
yeah.
Justin.
That's a tough one, man. I don't know. What other scents do you think would be good for this, Justin? Like a candle, man, like a different, not necessarily a prank one, but like a scent that no one makes. I did a bread one once, a bread candle.
Oh.
Like sourdough?
I like bread.
Yeah, it was like a fresh baked bread.
I don't like Subway bread. That is...
Really?
I mean,
you like that smell?
I
do. I don't. It's weird.
I don't like it.
It's
weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, I did a corn. I have corn. And so I had a corn can, like a can of corn, and cleaned it out and put a wick in the bottom of it and poured corn-flavored wax into
How
it.
What did that smell like? I mean, obviously corn, but what kind of... We're talking about like a sweet...
Yeah, it's kind of a sweet corn. Yeah. I also did the same thing with a jar of grape jelly.
Oh, that's cool.
And left the label on and cleaned it out and then put that in there. And it's a grape and you got the lid and everything.
That's pretty intense.
It's pretty, it's a pretty neat little
thing. Do you find, though, that food-scented candles make you hungry? That's some of the issues I have with burning creme brulee or caramel.
That'd be smarter for the restaurant industry, though.
We used to do cookies in
what
here.
What you should do is make one that smells like burning off tires.
They have that.
Burn it around at the car show.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. They make
who's burning their tires?
Who's doing that right there? Dude, that's an awful smell. I don't like that
I
smell.
I love that smell.
I like it too because I went to NASCAR as a kid. Tons of NASCAR races. I love that.
Justin, do you have a car? Like you got a souped up car or something?
Yeah, I got a 1989 Nissan Skyline GTR.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
dude,
that's right.
Nice.
Yeah. My old son. I've showed him your. It's on your on your Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on my Instagram.
Instagram.
Southern Pro.
Yeah. It's sick. You ever seen the Skylines?
No.
Oh, they're pretty cool.
What kind of car?
I wanted one since I was about 15 years old and was playing Gran Turismo and was like, what's this car that nobody can beat?
Yeah.
That was sick.
Yeah, it was the Godzilla before like anybody.
Before the Z or whatever.
So it was really popularized by Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
And who was it? Was it Paul Walker?
It was popularized by Fast and the Furious, but before that it was popularized because they entered Group A racing in Australia and it won every race it was entered in, first, second, and third place over four seasons. And then they banned it from competition.
Oh, wow.
It's like the old Ford GT.
That's ridiculous.
It's yours is a what? An 81, you said?
89.
Okay.
So yeah, what kind of horsepower?
With an inline 2.6, all-wheel drive, all-wheel steering, and twin turbo from the factory.
From the factory twin turbo. Do you have are your turbo inlets, are they out of your headlights?
No, I do not have a headlight intake. I just went with the HPS hardpipe kit on mine.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but
me neither.
It's a fancy intake instead of the intake box.
Have you seen the Chevelles
with the pod filters?
You've seen the Chevelles where they'll take, because the 70 has the two lights on each side, and they'll take the one of the, I guess, the two inside lights out and use those as turbo intakes,
like they do for the Dodge Demons.
Oh, do they?
They make that for my car as well.
And the Hellcat.
I just don't like the look of it. It's because I like the symmetry of the two headlights that look the same.
Yeah.
If you do that intake, one of your headlights looks different.
We went from candles to cars.
Yeah, and we're in deep now.
It's the best. Hey, Justin, it's good talking to you again, brother. Thank you, man.
See you, Justin.
Hey, good. Have a good day.
See you,
guys.
Bye. Speaking of triple bagging and smells, if you don't have an ozone generator, you should get one.
Yes.
Tell me more.
An ozone generator is what they use like in crime scenes when bodies have been decomposing and there's that smell. Mm. And so they go in and it's it just creates ozone.
Like ionized.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a little unit about yay big or so. And you plug it up and turn it on and leave. You can't be in there when it's doing it because it's bad for your lungs.
Oh.
And then it kills all that whatever. I don't know the science of it.
Bacteria or something, maybe?
Yeah, it kills anything living. It breaks things down at a cellular level.
So you don't smell it. So you put them in your car. You get like a musty smell in your car.
Or if maybe somebody smoked in your car that you didn't want.
It takes that out?
Yeah,
no
car dealerships. Yeah. Car dealerships use them every day.
Okay. What's a unit run?
Oh,
$90 maybe.
Oh, cool.
Not even.
How long do you have to be out of the house?
If you do it in a car, that's a smaller area.
Like 30 minutes, 15.
Yeah,
30
you just
minutes?
Give open your doors and let it. Out.
Can you rent those?
Yeah, you can.
Because my car has smelled like weirdly musty lately.
I'll just bring mine in. You can just use it.
Oh, okay, thank you.
During the show, would you just put it in your car?
Yeah, I would love that. Okay.
And then just let it air out
thank
or whatever.
You.
Also, just check for a citrus candle in the trunk.
But yeah, like Big D said, you can't just get back into your car immediately after because you have to go in and open all the windows, open all the doors, and let it completely air out. Yeah. And you even want to run your AC as well.
It'll kind of get all into your, because when you're have that ozone going, you turn your car on and the AC, it'll get all into your system and clean all that out as well.
Are you sponsored by this ozone machine?
No, but I know somebody who used it for pest control. They had mice in their walls.
In the walls.
Really?
And it killed the mice.
It killed the mice.
Really?
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, I don't
know. And then the smell got worse.
Right, because then you have mice.
Well, that's why you have an ozonator. I don't know the rest of the story,
they
stopped hearing the mice. They never heard them again. And I don't remember him saying anything about the smell.
They may have just bolted.
But I would think maybe, too, like bugs or something. Wouldn't that work for that?
I don't know.
We came home from a vacation. We were only gone, we were on like 5 days. But on day four, my sister, who lives in town, went to... I had an issue with my truck key. I was playing. We were at a playground in Ohio visiting family, and I was going down the slide with my son, and I was at the top of the slide, and I wear my keys on my side of my pants here with the carabiner.
Yeah.
They're just always hooked to a belt loop. And I wasn't paying attention, and it, one of the keys was hung up at the top of the slide, and I went, as I was going down, that sucker bent pretty bad. And I tried to straighten it back up, and it snapped. So I was like, okay, we're not going to be able to get home, because it was a, you know, we were supposed to leave like 2 days later. So my sister goes, it's totally weird. My sister had to go to our house to get me a key to overnight it. So she goes, and we had been gone only 4 days at this point, and she walks in, and there's all the way to the front door, there's a path of maggots crawling.
Oh no!
From the front door to the kitchen trash, and because this is, you know, the, not to get disgusting, but we've already talked about shit smelling candles. This it doesn't take long for if you leave a dirty diaper in a trash can, it does not take long to have
worse smell
to have maggots infesting your house. And that's all it was. We had maybe, I don't know, just regular amounts of discarded food, but that wouldn't have done it. It was the shit diaper that did it. And we were so disgusted. My sister was so disgusted. She's the one that found it. But we could have used your little ozone machine.
Did you have to call someone to come in and do that?
Well, we did. My mom, who lives down the road, offered to like at least get it somewhat in shape before we got there so that we weren't so it didn't get more out of hand.
That's nice.
And I had a company come over and spray, you know, we have regular pest treatment. So they came first and did their thing. But we kept finding dead ones, you know, for a few days.
Wow.
Yeah. They'd be in different places of the house.
By the way, I looked,
it was disgusting.
The ozone generator won't kill mice, but it does deter them. They don't like
that's
it.
That's what happened.
So they
ran off.
It will kill bed bugs.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so if you have a bed bug issue, like you go on a trip and you bring them home,
that's incredible.
It also will kill fleas.
Come on.
And some spiders are potentially, you know, affected. Roaches.
Come on.
As well.
Dude, here's mine. I found it. It's $40 on Amazon.
Yeah, I knew they had small ones. And yeah.
This is a small one. Now,
give me
do make big
do the
ones.
House. I want big one that'll do the whole house.
Oh, that's like... $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah. Yeah, they're bigger.
Okay.
Like if you're doing like big rooms and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are like little small kind of deals.
Yeah, the ones that we have are... because I got one because of Big D's having his. I borrowed his. Remember, we put it in my car to get rid of the smell because, you know, you've played sports and all that, right? So, you know, like your football pads, your whatever, everything smells.
The soccer shin.
Yeah, you throw it in a bag and you don't wash it. You put it back on the next game. Firefighting, my gear would smell like that. So one day it was so bad. We fought a fire at a, there was a garbage dump that had caught on fire. So imagine trudging around. You've got the smell of smoke. And festering garbage.
Okay, so that's
all
your next candle scent, hot trash. There you go.
Oh,
that's
good.
That's it, bro.
Hot trash.
Hot trash.
But
hot
what
trash.
I was going to say is I borrowed Dee's ozone generator, put my gear in my car, laid it all out, and we let it run. Dude, it was amazing.
That's
I went
crazy.
Back. My stuff, even after washing it, you know, four or five times at the firehouse, it didn't get it out.
They're
going to
put Tide detergent out of business.
Well, it worked, but apparently, after reading, it's not good because it can break down some of the
fabric.
For your gear.
Okay.
So they don't suggest.
Yeah. Because anyway. There must be a living organism component to your gear.
I don't know. I mean, it's Kevlar.
I'll tell you something else that I have at the house. It's a cleaning subject. Is a, what do they call it?
Vinegar.
It's used to clean jewelry.
Feet.
Spit.
You guys are not helping me. It cleans jewelry.
Like
and
acetone?
No.
Coca-Cola?
No. It's a water. Water goes into this container and it's little tablets.
Holy water.
And it's... And it goes in, it's like
moonshine.
It sounds like just like this. Soap.
The water sounds like ultrasonic.
Ultrasonic.
Oh, ultrasonic. I have an ultrasonic toothbrush.
Yeah. Is that the same thing?
I think it's a vibration. I vibrate.
I think it just means alien tech.
It's just aliens. But I have one of those. If you don't borrow it, too. Yeah, if I can borrow your toothbrush.
Sure, man.
Hey, what's going on with music for you, man? I know you, thank you so much. You came out and played our show.
Oh, that
the
was
other
so
day.
Fun.
I
wasn't
really
great?
Appreciate. Yeah, it was fun. It was people really fun. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me. The music's going great. The album's really well received. I'm super proud of it, and I feel like it's accomplished what my goal with it was in the first place, and that's to, you know, to have a body of work out there that's A, something I'm proud of, something that reflects where I'm at and what I wanted to say, and also just keeps me in the game, you know, at a pace that it works for me and my family. You know,
I like how rootsy it is.
Thanks.
Chickahominy is and
so good.
So who owns the music? Who, I mean,
I do.
So we can play it.
So yeah. Could we play a little bit of it
just
so people
play the whole thing?
I mean, I want to play a little bit. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to turn this up.
No, because I own it. This is not, this only helps.
Okay. You sure? Okay. It's his.
You got to tell Bubba four times.
Well, I'm.
He's going to say, I will make sure. Here we go. Here he goes.
It's such a gentleman.
He is a gentleman. He is the best.
This is Kanan Smith, Chickahominy.
You know all my secrets. You heard all my prayers. You still hold the can I throwed after I drank my first beer. You saw all them kisses, heard a couple lies I told. And you're the one I ran to after she left my heart cold. And when it came time for leaving, all I was thinking is roll, roll, take a harmony, sing, sing, sing your song to me, rock me on your river bank.
Can you lip sync?
Run, run, run forever.
I don't do TikTok.
We'll get back together. I want and only Chickahominy. I rode this old guitar down every winding road. It hung on my chest and did its best to keep me far from home. Found money, I found late nights, even love a time or two. Oh, but it ain't never made me feel like when I get close to you. So roll, roll, Chickahominy, sing, sing, sing your song to me. Rock me on your riverbank, hold me while I dream. Run, run, run forever, one day we'll get back together. My one and only Chickahominy. Through the walls of all these hotel rooms and places, your spirit's like a siren's voice haunting, calling me. Yeah, roll, roll, Chickahominy, sing, sing, sing your song to me. Rock me on your riverbank, hold me while I dream. Run, run, run forever. One day we'll get back together, my one and only Chickahominy.
Song with the turkey solo.
I don't know why we didn't think of that.
It's a jam, man.
Thanks, guys. It's cool. It's fun to listen to it in headphones.
What's that?
It's fun to listen to it in headphones.
Oh,
no, I mean, that's how we honestly, it's how we closed the mix when we were finalizing it. That's how we did it.
Close the mix.
Yeah.
But
it's cool to hear
you're
it.
So
just,
sexy.
I haven't listened to it in headphones since then.
Close the mix.
Close the mix.
Close the mix.
Can you say that? How deep can you talk?
How deep? Not very, especially right now. And I'm. This is.
Are you high? This,
no, I'm not. Yeah. And that's why
low?
I can't. But that's
Are
why
you
I
low?
Can't. Since I stopped smoking over the last 2 months, my low register's gone, and I don't know. Plus the kids at home have all kind of viruses all the time, and I'm always fighting whatever they're fighting. But
getting a little bit there. I heard it.
Yeah, I have some of the.
You should hear my dad. My dad's voice is so deep; it's insane.
Like that actor,
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, him, and then Sam, or...
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Big D's dad
is
deeper.
It's deeper than that.
It's deeper than
Big
Sam
D's dad
Elliott.
Talks, and literally dolphins and whales beach themselves. It's crazy.
Hey. Oh, man, it's wild. And the weird thing about his voice is that it's deep, but it's also loud. Most times when you hear deep, it's so, you go like, what?
It's deep and wide.
Deep and wide, deep and wide. It's a wide, deep. What is that? How's it go?
There's a fountain.
And deep, a fountain.
Deep
that's
and
a
wide.
Fountain.
Deep and wide, there's a fountain.
Do you grow up in the church?
Deep and wide. I did, yeah. And, you know, it has, like, the foundation of my faith, I'm very grateful for that I did grow up in the church. There was also parts of the growing up in the church that, we're a little bit damaging to, you know, as an adult, when I'm looking back on some of the control tactics that
snakehead,
whether they meant to do it or not, there was just some, you know, some humanity that was not pretty that was part of it. And but, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say.
You Do you know where that comes from, that phrase?
No, I've always wondered. And so back in the day, pretty freaking wicked.
Yeah, so back in the day, they would have they had one basin that they would, and they all took a bath in the family once a week, or whatever the time was. And so the father would get in first because he was the head of the family, and so he would, and then the mother.
He got the clean water.
He would get the clean water, and then it went to the mom, and then it went to the oldest. And so as it got down, the water would become so dirty and murky that you could have a baby in there and not even know there's a baby in the water.
They were drowning?
So they would say, you know, don't throw the water out. Don't throw the baby out with the bat. There's a baby in there that looks like it's just water.
But was it underwater?
No, goofballs. I'm saying.
Just saying.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. And also, it sounds like they could have used the ozone machine back then.
Get rid of that funk.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
I'm so glad for indoor plumbing.
The pioneer funk would have been something.
You know, indoor plumbing is wonderful. Air conditioning, however, changed the world for the worse. I think,
indoor plumbing?
No, indoor plumbing is wonderful.
Indoor air conditioning?
Air conditioning, I think, really ruined us. It's wonderful. Okay, I love air conditioning.
I hear you.
Climate control took us from being able to handle. Yeah, we are way soft.
Dude, I don't disagree. We went to Costa Rica, and this was, I don't know, 5 years ago. And online, this place looked like, you know, a really decked out villa. And we didn't know that it didn't have AC.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mind it because it made us open the windows and just, you know, even at night, a little bit of that kind of thickness in the air made you kind of like a little more appreciative something, you know? Yeah. So I kind of like that idea.
Where
maybe
you're like, I love America because we
love
have
America. And we also woke up with bugs all over our food.
I was
and
about that to was, ask that, if you know, had screens. That was No.
That was the same thing in Paris.
Oh, I would have turned around, got back on a flight.
No, that's part of it.
We did the whole Parisian experience where you stay at a local hotel, not a chain. So you stay.
That's
at,
right.
You know, so we did that, and they didn't have air conditioning.
And it was fine though, right?
I mean, no, it was hot. It was in the middle of a heat wave. It was 103 during the day. I'm like, this is terrible.
Oh my gosh.
But they have fans. I mean. You do your
doesn't
best.
Blow well.
I know.
And it just blows hot air.
It just
air.
Blows so flat
the,
out.
But
blows.
It was interesting because we did. We slept with all the windows open. They don't have screens. You just open them up and you look out and everybody's got their windows open.
You don't really
open
get relief until right before sunrise. Right about 5 a.m. you're finally comfortable and it's time to get up.
Yeah, and it's weird because I also think that made us fatter. I think as a society, because we are so comfortable inside, we don't move like we used to. We don't walk. We don't do things. We're like, I'll just take the car because it's got AC. It's hot today.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
Preach.
I agree, man. The rest of the country, of the world is not. Plus, our food is all whack, though, anyway,
The food is the problem.
Golly,
that's a
man.
Big, big problem.
You know, I got a – I was going to bring this up on the air, and I forgot. There's a – So last night, it was like Thursday. I'm like, you know, I cook all the time. And I was like, I just want to go home and like get like a frozen pizza and watch some college baseball.
Mm. Who's your team, by the way?
LSU. Cool. For college?
Yeah. LSU. Cool. All right, keep going.
And so I go to the grocery store and I'm in the frozen food section. I was like, oh, maybe I'll just make one. You know, they sell like dough and you can do it yourself. I'm like, I really don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I just want to get a frozen pizza. I get on Reddit, and I'm like, what's the best frozen pizza that you can buy in a grocery store? And, like, the top five answers were a thing that I can't remember now. Here it is. Home. Now I have
not DiGiorno.
Hominy, no.
Look, DiGiorno rising crust does
great,
me
to
solid.
To be honest, though,
I mean, that's
good.
What I'm saying. I got three of them in my
don't
freezer right now.
Don't sleep on gas station Hunt Brothers.
Oh, I will sleep on that. That's some nasty shit, bro. Are you kidding me? You like that?
I like the Hunt Brothers gas station.
And don't get me wrong. I like a greasy pizza. I love Jets, though. That's my style
and,
of pizza,
I found
bro.
It.
Let's go.
Swing you by a Costco.
I like Costco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Home Run Inn frozen pizza.
I've never heard of it.
The person says, the most impressive thing to me about Home Run Inn frozen pizza is that the parts of the pizza, the sauce, cheese, dough, and toppings are basically just made with ingredients that it takes. No, the dough is flour, salt, yeast, water, not 9,000 unpronounceable chemicals.
Oh, cool.
Next person. Man, Home Run Inn is fantastic. Came here to upvote Home Run Inn.
Where do you get it, though?
At Publix.
Okay.
Did you get it?
Dude,
I did.
I've never heard of
it. I got two of them. It was the first frozen pizza that I was like, oh, I get the difference. You
really?
Can, yep. Huh. Yeah,
do they make a cauliflower crust one, too? Do you know? He's like, I don't. Do I look like a cauliflower? Yes.
They might, though, because that's real
hip. I don't. Yeah.
That's,
I didn't
you can buy
that,
so but, many of them.
But I'll
that's
tell you this.
The problem with those is they're the so small.
I was getting the ones from Aldi, like the cauliflower ones, and they're good.
I like the Aldi ones.
Yeah. I like them, too, but they're so little.
They are little.
Yeah.
But interesting is that there's a ton of frozen pizzas everywhere. Mm-hmm. There are very few left of these.
See?
Oh.
There's only like three left. I got two of them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you bringing those Oreos in here?
Please do.
You could bring. He went in there and grabbed him. Didn't bring the rest for the class.
So selfish. Self-centered.
All right, here he comes.
Bubba went on a. He's on a. Been on an Oreo kick.
So yeah, I had Oreos for a Super Bowl party at my friend Chris and Stacy's house, and they had these game day Oreos. These right here.
Game day. What is it? Okay.
It's like a football themed Oreo, but like the cookie is. Watch. Open it up. The cookie itself is a little less dark brown. It's kind of like a lighter brown.
What's going on with that?
It's better.
It is?
Dude, it is better. And I don't even think, like, I don't know if the actual cream part is different, but they're so good.
Mm.
Carson was killing the Post Malone ones.
It's crispier.
There's something to it. It's better.
I was eating the mega stuff last night that are at my house. And I might have opened the mega stuff, took four of them, pulled the tops off, and then did four mega stuff creams between two cookies.
You made that a mega stuffosaurus rex.
It was a little, even for me to chow down. That I was like,
amazing.
It like because when you go to bite in, it squishes everywhere. And but I mean, I powered through. I did it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Somehow
this is
found
a better
a
cookie.
Way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a way.
It reminds
better
me
Oreo.
Of the my grandma's cookies more than the old Oreos.
There's
did.
Something.
This is like a that has a snap to it.
Okay, I'll take one more. Do you want one?
I do not know.
These stupid nails keep getting in the way. I can't.
How do you eat your Oreo? All at once?
No.
That's what I do.
No,
pop the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
That's a two-biter.
Yeah, I separate them and then dissect it like a
scrape
savage.
It. You're a scraper?
Yes, I'm a scraper. Yeah.
I need one more. Thank you.
Have you tried the Post Malone ones?
No, I didn't know I had them.
Yeah, sorry.
I took those home.
They're flavored?
Yeah, they're caramel cream.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I sat in my bed last Friday night because Bubba gave me his, and I put the pack next to me. I was watching the Traders, and all I ate was the cream. I didn't eat the cookies. Well, I just
that's a pretty good little sandwich
Thank
you got
you, right?
going over there right
it's
now.
Not bad.
Actually.
So
sandwich you can go.
I did, CD. I stacked it.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
I took
three
and
high.
Stacked them.
So are you doing? Are you touring much? Are you doing? Are you doing
about
shows?
About to do shows. We don't start till April, but yeah. I'll be out on the road this year. Kind of all over the place. No tour per se. It's all one offs.
Yeah,
you know that's what works best for us. Is I don't want to. Man, I've spent years and years on the road, and
I
don't want to be gone much. You know,
did the music industry kind of burn you?
I wouldn't say that. I would say it learned me. You know,
oh, that's a good one.
Because there were so many parts of it that were so great, but it also was something that was more. I was letting rule my life. Beyond what I believe I should let it rule my life, and. So now, you know, I try to prioritize it a little bit better. I think that's the better way to approach it for me right now is to just make sure that I'm not living and dying by my music or my presence in the industry or my presence in the
Do you have a chance to kind of mentor any artists? Younger?
I do, dude. I love the idea of being able to take what I've learned and somehow help the person behind me, you know. And there's a kid named Schmitty. Who I'm a big fan of, and he's new to town. Just been here a few years. He's a farmer from Minnesota. He's like you know 10th generation farmer. Or
I like his name.
Like
Schmitty is fun.
Yeah, his name's Steven Schmidt, but he goes by Schmitty.
I like Schmitty.
And
he'd like dig his candles.
I found him on Instagram. No doubt. I found him on Instagram. He had covered one of my songs and tagged me, and so it sent me a notification that you know someone had done that, and I checked it out, and he sounded awesome. He looked cool. And long story short, yeah, he moved to town. He's got a pub deal now with Warner Chappell, and he's about to cut some sides. And so, yeah, I definitely try to pass on what I've learned because I've been in the town and in the industry for like 20 years, really. Honestly, I moved here in 2005, and back then, like the chasing down the dream looked and was entirely different than it is now, you know. Nowadays, like, I'm getting in rooms with kids that have been here, like, a year, you know, and are already riding with, you know, top riders in town, got, you know, millions of streams on their songs.
One viral thing can change the entire game.
You know, and so some of my perspective may be not as useful in the modern landscape, but the general bird's eye view of how I look at things, I definitely feel like I want to share from that perspective, you know, because at the end of the day, you're still chasing a dream. You're going to have your ups and downs. And so prioritizing it in a way that can help you stay mentally healthy is important, and you're going to need that.
Important to not catastrophize.
What does that mean?
Well, like something doesn't go your way, and it's not the end of the world.
Oh, totally. Yeah. My most unhappy moments in this industry was on the heels of my number one song, which is crazy to say, but at the height of my career, number one song, that was super awesome. Felt all the highs of a number one, loved it. Everybody's high-fiving. The follow-up single to the number one, not performing the same that one did, and the journey of watching it, you know, kind of, it felt like, oh, crap, for a second. You know, if this doesn't do it, what's going to happen? And all I did was look around to my left and right at what other people had that I didn't, or why theirs was working, or why more gas was being poured on this than was on mine, or it felt like. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, you could just, you know, once you, it's a dangerous thing to have success in any industry, because it just makes you want it more, I feel like. And that's awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. I want more success. I want a lot more number one songs. If they happen, that'd be great. But I don't live and die by it. And that's, I didn't know that until now. You know, it took me getting through some of that disappointment and discouragement. It took me kind of checking out. And that's how, when you ask, has the industry burned me? No, it didn't burn me. It made me, I kind of did get a little bit chewed up and spit out, it felt like. But not because of anyone or anything, just partly because of how I
handled it.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, it was on my shoulders.
But really. Also, you know, like, you can't, how do you prep for that?
You can't. I should have been more patient with the single we were working at the time. It's called Hole in a Bottle. And it was at number 23. And it was looking like it wasn't going to go much further. I had been working on new music in the background. By this time, my Bronco album was almost 2 years old, and I wanted new stuff. And in retrospect, I shouldn't have pulled it. I shouldn't have pulled the single or asked him to pull it because I didn't have a plan going forward. If I had a great go-forward plan, sure, pull it and let's move on. But the plan wasn't in place, so it was a premature move, a little bit of a knee-jerk thing based on frustration.
Yep.
And just being lost and unhappy and not knowing who I was or how to handle it. So
seems like you know who you are now.
Now I do, and I'm not as I'm not in the game at the level I was then. But I'm very much happier now than
you're living.
And
better.
I still get to do this for a living, and it's a beautiful thing.
And as we heard with Chickahominy, you're putting out bangers. I mean,
thanks, man.
Your sound has changed.
Yeah.
And your look has changed.
Yeah, everything.
I lost everything.
Dude, the first...
My razor.
I'll tell you again, the first time we reconnected with you, I was like, whoa. Like, because you were clean shaven.
Yeah,
and you had the boy band hair.
Yeah, I know, dude.
And I'm like,
I know.
Who is this guy?
I know. And I've got friends that still tell me...
I like this guy,
you need to clean your act up, but... I think I like this guy better too. I like where I'm at mentally, and I guess how I look is sort of just the result of where I'm at.
I would change the glasses.
You would change the glasses?
I would. Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like about your look is your glasses.
Little Unabomber.
Well, they are.
That's what it is.
Is it Unabomber or
but
is
you
it
know what? I had other glasses before this. Yeah. Oh no, it was. What's his name?
Yeah, it's a serial killer.
Yeah, the serial
Jeffrey
killer.
Dahmer.
That guy.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, that's it.
Well, here's the thing, though.
When I look at you, I'm like, authorities are looking for this man.
He's living in a little cabin in Montana.
But at the same time, this big old windshield is nice because nothing's obstructing my view. I can't handle the little glasses that, you know, you see the frame as you're looking through. That's so annoying to me.
No.
So,
I
had glasses before this. I just never wore them because I didn't have the right pair. They were too small. And so, yeah, I went as big. I guess I might have overcompensated
a
little
those
bit.
Those are classic aviators. I mean, they're totally, we're just playing. It's what we do.
Eat our Oreos. Just eat our Oreos.
I love these things.
You can't stop.
It's a way better cooking.
That's what I said. I was at that party, and they had like a big bowl full of them left after the Super Bowl, and I went, can I take these home?
By the way, I don't know if there's any Chiefs fans, but I loved the outcome of the Super Bowl. I'll just say.
Oh, you did?
Personally.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched the commercials.
Go they Birds. Do? No, I don't.
I was there for Travis Scott.
I just think it's good. I don't like when the same people win every time. I don't like it in the music industry. I don't like seeing the same old thing. It just feels like...
You're not a fan of a dynasty. I get it.
I don't like dynasty as much. I did.
You weren't down for the Brady dynasty era?
Well, I was more like the Troy... Honestly, as a kid, it was Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. It was a Dallas Cowboys
dynasty.
And the Michael Jordan dynasty. I got to be a kid through those two best dynasties ever. And North Carolina basketball. Because my dad's from North Carolina, so I grew up being a North Carolina fan. So those it was good times to be young and a sports fan. But I don't know. I think it's good for people to have I don't know. I think it's good to not win every time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my own experience in the music industry.
Yep.
Kind of like, you know, because of where I am now, like, had I just kept winning, would I have grown? Or would I be who I am now? I don't know.
You wouldn't have those glasses.
You wouldn't be that. You wouldn't be the same person. None of us would.
Would there be a mass manhunt for me right now?
Dude, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're fun.
And the Oreos.
You know we love you.
Everyone needs to check out Kanan Smith, Chickahominy. The whole album, everything is there. You can stream it, and you're good to go.
Also, booking for us something.
Please do it. Yeah, Kincaid Entertainment is my booking agency. And Bob Kincaid is a G. He's awesome. He's been a great partner for where I'm at and just the pace of things right now. And so, yeah.
Are there links on your socials to the bookings and all that?
Yeah, KananSmith.com has it. Has everything.
Two A's in Canaan.
C-A-N-A-A-N. Canaan.
Canaan.
Yep. So thanks for having me, guys. Love it.
Are you ready for the out song for the AI?
This one doesn't change. This one doesn't change. This one is a standard.
Oh.
Here we go, babe.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Nice. All right, we'll see y'all.
Bye.
Kanan Smith, y'all.